Welcome back to another episode of Here's the Thing Podcast. I am Mark Cotton.
And I am Brianna Janelle.
And today we have another special guest with us.
Yes, today joining us, this one is going to be a powerful one, I personally believe. He is a husband, he's a father, podcast host, and now author. Mm-hmm. We'd like to welcome to the show, Cameron Giles.
What's up, guys?
What's up?
Yes.
Hey, what's how y'all?
Man, good. We all right, man. Welcome to the show, man.
Yes, yeah. I will say it's like very homey in here, so I appreciate it.
Yes. That's what we're going for.
It's not stiff, it's not stuffy, so.
Yeah, we try to make sure that all our guests are comfortable, man. Yeah. Try to make sure that everybody feels at home. Yeah. But I said that way we can have a real conversation.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So, author, man. Tell the people about you, man.
Man, yeah. I guess I'm Georgia born and raised, so raised in Clayton County.
Clayco.
Old Clayco, born and raised in Georgia. Was raised in a church, but wasn't really into it. My dad's a preacher. I was forced to go. Unfortunately. But from an early age, people were kind of, well, the pastor in the church that I was going to was like, he's going to be a pastor. I was like, I don't want nothing to do with that. I ran away from it completely. But I thank God that I did run away from it, because it gave me a different perspective of what it really means to be with the people and how to lead people, versus what you traditionally see in church. So that's a little bit about me.
Okay.
Hey, man. All right. That's what's up, man. I'm about to say PKs, man. I'm about to say, yeah. We've been seeing a lot of PKs lately. Like just people that just have been indoctrinated since birth or whatever cases. What was that like for you, just seeing that growing up?
Honestly, I have a different story than most PKs, because I was in church for every Sunday for most of the Sundays, but the Wednesday services and all that, we didn't really do all that. And for a lot of people I know, they're very sheltered, they can't do certain things XYZ, and while my parents did keep me from doing certain things as far as in the neighborhood or in the community, when it came to going around family members that wasn't saved, I was around my family members that wasn't saved. I was around my family members that sold drugs, that did drugs. It's just when they started to go get into their stuff, we left. Yeah. So I was around them. I knew what that lifestyle was like. Most of my family on my mom's side was in East Atlanta. So we was over there pretty much every day. Yeah. So I was in the church, but I wasn't sheltered to an extent. So it was a little bit different.
But so you got the best of both worlds, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah.
But so that gives you, I'm sure, a really interesting perspective when it comes to reaching people. You're not one of those people that because you hear about a lot of PKs, they play instruments in church. They were in church Monday through Saturday. They had to be there all day Sunday. So you really got exposed to the real world while being exposed to the kingdom at the same time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I appreciate that, because it also let me know, I see a lot of times where people, kind of talk about different people for whatever reason, but you just got to understand their perspective. For most people who are in the world, they're trying to heal themselves. Mm-hmm. They just don't know the way. Mm-hmm. So even with all this stuff, and I'm a big proponent against witchcraft and all of that. But I was able to have a conversation with one of my friends from high school a while ago. It was over social media, because she didn't like something I posted. Just through having that conversation, I understood, hey, she just hurt.
Yes.
And that was her relief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But hey, unfortunately, that relief just doesn't allow you to actually have relief. It seems like it in the moment. And then it brings other problems. So, yeah.
No, that's definitely real, man. We see a lot of people that are trying to self-heal.
Yeah.
And I think that when people take on that mentality of trying to be their own aid,
right?
I think what happens is they end up making idols,
yes,
out of so many things, and it draws them further away from God. And not to jump right into your book, but you have a chapter in your book about obedience, and you speak on the idea. So first and foremost, y'all, he has a book out. It's called Ember. Please go get it. It's an amazing read. But in your book, you have a section on obedience where you speak to the idea of drifting off and doing your own thing, which kind of delays you, and it slows you down. So when it comes to people in the world, I guess when I hear that, it's we waste so much time searching for other outlets to do, like, you know, what God has called. God has called us to do certain things. We're like, yeah. Like, let's stray away and do this because this makes us feel good or whatever the case may be. And it delays us. About to say. So can you speak to the delay that you echoed in your book as far as, like, you know, how that happens?
Yeah. So, like, and I use an example in my own life as well. So, like, as far as, like, being obedient, even to this book, right? So I got the idea for the book back in 2017, 2018,
okay.
Like when I was still at a place where I was on fire, right? Mm. Yeah. And I just took my time with it. Like I wasn't sitting down, I wasn't writing, I wasn't doing what I needed to do, and it delayed it. So like from 2017, 2018, all the way up to 2024, which was last year when I actually did it, that's what, 7 years of delay. Mm-hmm. 7 years of things not happening right now. God turned it around and used it for his good and for the good of the book, but it was delayed. Like, the original, like, I was able to use those different things to help the book, but it delayed it. This is probably something that should have been 7 years ago, and I should probably be on book 3, 4, 5 right now, but I'm not, because I delayed it, because in my own strength, right? This is what it is. I could have been obedient to God and did what he asked me to do as far as writing a book, as far as doing a podcast, as far as starting a website, doing all these things, but I ran away from it. One, because I hadn't seen a good example of people doing those things and not chasing it to build themselves up. But two, at that time, like, I had just got married, and I'm like, God, I'll throw all this away as long as I can have a quote unquote good life. Like, I don't care about ministry, I don't care about writing no books, I don't care about going anywhere. I just want to make sure my wife is good and make sure that, you know, when we do have kids, and we got one now, but when we do have kids, my kids are good, right? And bro, it didn't work. It didn't work.
First of all, I personally feel shot at, because I have a book that I've been writing on for I don't know how long. I don't even want to say. But it's going to get done this year.
Praise God.
He has been, like, sending messages across my path, like, hey.
Let's
quit playing.
Yeah.
But what you have inside of you needs to get out.
Exactly.
It's not just for you. So
exactly.
I'm like, okay.
But y'all make a good point about, like, you know, how God will still use that thing for his good. And I think that, like, you know, we think that because God used it for his good, it was good.
Right.
Like, you know, and it's like, no, like, you know, it wasn't good. Like, again, obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yes.
So there was a sacrifice that was made, and you even speak to that in that chapter about, like, you know, like how we're more willing to sacrifice than we are to be obedient. Like, you know, and just because God can use it for his good doesn't mean that he should have to.
Exactly.
About to say, so, like, you know, but I mean, but God does use that time that we delay ourselves.
Right.
And we learn. About to say, so, like, you know, like, even with her book, I know that she's probably gotten more insight, and you probably got more insight within those years. Certain things that you probably had written in 2017 weren't written in 2024.
Right. I think when I first started writing my book, I was still part of a sorority, and God pulled me out of that. So now that's in my book about, like, hey, y'all, this is what it is.
Yeah.
Like he says, he'll still use everything.
Right.
But yeah, that's so good. One of the things that I kind of wanted to just unpack is, like, this had to have stemmed from somewhere. You kind of touched on it, but like, tell us about a time when you kind of did lose that fire. Like, what did that look like?
So, yeah. So originally, talking about it, I was coming from the standpoint of someone who was just really coming to Christ, because that's where I was. I was, like I said, in church, but just now developing that relationship. Like, I got saved in a classroom on campus, basically, at a Bible study. And so it was coming from that standpoint. But then after that, I was in the church, and I was good, but then things happened. So, you know, just full transparency, we were out in Carrollton, and then my wife got pregnant. And so when we got pregnant, like, she went home to stay with her parents because I was working, and I didn't want her by herself at home, because she had, the first trimester was really bad. So I didn't want her home. And so she went home with her parents so that she had people around all the time. Right. Long story short, that kind of went into a long term thing, longer than I wanted it to be. And that was one of the hardest seasons of my life, honestly, like, just spiritually and confidence wise. I was really just like, I never thought I'd be in this situation. It was very humbling, and, like, just had to swallow my pride a lot in different ways. And so during that time, I wasn't as involved at the church as I wanted to be, because it was still out in Carrollton. I'm over here in Conyers, and I had just started working at Enterprise as well. And so, like, I was working on Saturdays most weekends, and then I don't want to get up and go to church on Sunday, especially if my wife not going with me. So, like, no, I'm gonna stay at the house and we go chill, and I'm gonna get ready for work tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so it it was a lot of damage there, as far as like not being on fire, not being XYZ. And it's crazy because even in that time, there was a lot of things going on as far as like, I won't say necessarily elevation, but more confirmation for me, mm-hmm. as far as like church, just being ordained, being licensed and stuff like that, all while I feel like I'm not where I need to be, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's where this book comes from. It speaks to the person that may be like, you're in a place, or I'll just continue to talk about myself, but like I was in a place where I know what's right. I know what I should be doing. But like Paul said, the things that I should do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, I do. So like not reading my Bible, not fasting, not praying, and not understanding that everything that I need to be in touch with God, everything that I need to be in tune with God, I have access to it. You know, I don't need to be in a certain place. I don't need to be at necessarily at the church. And don't get me wrong, I'm not talking against the church. I'm a pastor.
Yeah.
But I don't need that thing. It's a personal thing. Now my connections are very important. Who I'm around and all those things matter. But like, yeah, like this book is really is a lot of that is me. Like every chapter is things that I did. It was me understanding, okay, cool. It's on you, Cam.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right, get around people that's gonna help you out. All right, cool. Let's get back to fasting. Let's get back to praying. Cool. Let's put some structure in.
Yeah.
Let's get some discipline back in. And like that is really my life. Yeah. I didn't write it like it was my life because nobody want to read that. But it's my life, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah. And that's what I really liked about your book is that it was so practical with like, hey, this is what you can do. And I know you're about to say something, but
no, go ahead.
One of the things that I really liked that you touched on is like having vision,
mm-hmm.
because I realized in those times when I didn't really have vision for my life, it's almost like you feel like anything goes. Like it doesn't matter whether I'm smoking or drinking. It's not like I have a call on my life. Right. It's not like I have people looking up to me or all these things that just seem so like, you know, up in the air.
Yeah.
And it feeds a lack of discipline because you don't have any goals. You don't have any vision for your life. And so I thought that that was really, really unique perspective.
I agree 100% because the same thing, like if I don't have a, even if it's just like, if I don't have a goal or I don't have a understanding of where I'm going just in my relationship with Christ, I'm not going to read my Bible.
Right.
Because if I don't feel like there's something that I need to obtain or there's something I need to grasp or understand, I have no reason. But here's the thing, even if that goal is just to better understand God, that's all you need.
Yeah.
Right. But you need that vision. You need that vision of like, okay, I don't know God as much as I need to know him. Let me get into his word. You need that vision of, I don't know the Bible as much as I need to know the Bible. Let me get into my word.
Yeah.
That's why also the heart of this book too, because, you know, the Bible says he makes his ministers a flame of fire, right? Well, everybody's a minister.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to be called to the fivefold to be a minister.
Right.
You sitting in your desk at your cubicle at your job, like, you're a minister to your job.
Come on.
You're a minister to your home. So like everybody is a minister, and like to some way you have to be able to effectively communicate the gospel to somebody.
Yeah.
And even if that effective communication is just your life.
You know, and I think this is really good because I think that what we don't do, echoing both of y'all, is that we don't set goals.
No.
For the relationship. Like in any other relationship, you're dating, the goal is to get married, the goal is to stay married, or the goal as a friendship is like, oh, we're going to take a trip, or whatever case is, like you set goals for everything in life. But when it comes to Christianity or your relationship with Christ being a disciple, we don't set any type of aspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a quick way for your fire to burn out if you don't have a goal. Like, you know, like I always joke, like one of my goals with God is to be immediately obedient. Like that's been a goal since I really understood who Christ was. Like, you know, like, so I read Elijah in 1 Kings 17, 18, 19. And I always see like the first verse is God said, and then the second verse is so Elijah did, or God said, go. So Elijah went, God said, speak. So Elijah said, and if it's me, it's like God said, and then four books later, 15 chapters into the book, eventually Marcus did.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, so, like, you know, so one of my goals has always been, let me shorten the time span between God saying something and my obedience.
Yeah.
And I think that we're not real about, like, you know, setting a goal and setting a tone for your relationship with Christ.
Right.
It'll never grow.
Yeah. I mean, but the Bible even says, like, for the lack of vision, the people perish, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the same thing with our lives. Mm-hmm. It's the same. Here's what I had to understand, and I'm continuing to understand. the laws of the Bible is the law of the world, whether we want to agree with it or not. Like the law of sowing, and it's going to come back to you, it's a law whether you're a believer or not. Mm-hmm. You think of all these like major corporations that they give and they give and they give. Now they do it out of a tax reason, but right. they give and it comes back. It's a law of yeah. God. Yeah. So it's the same thing with you know, write the vision, make it plain, because mm-hmm. if my people perish for a lack of vision. If you don't know what you're doing, you're yeah. going to perish. Yeah. So that being obedient immediately is something I'm working on too. Because, bruh, like, man, I've talked to my wife about this recently, where it's like, man, I'll tell myself I want to do something, and it's in line with what I believe God is wanting to do in my life, and I don't do it. Mm. And I think a part of that is just... It's just that conviction. Yeah. It's like, are you fully convinced mm-hmm. and fully convicted that God said it one? And are you fully convinced and fully convicted that what he said is going to work out the way he said it is?
Yeah. That part.
Because when you know, then it's no movement on it.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
when he called him out to walk on water, he said, if it's you, Lord, bid me come. And he immediately stepped out.
Yeah.
We don't do that, though, because we don't know.
And that speaks to our faith in the Bible, because we're gonna talk about the Bible. I see, but like you know, like but the Bible says that like you know anything not done in faith is sin.
Yeah.
But I said like so obedience to God is really a test of faith.
Yes.
Like, do you really believe what you say you believe?
Yes.
So like I think that like you know for any Christian out there, get you a notebook and write down some goals for your relationship with God. Like you know,
absolutely.
And give yourself a benchmark. Like okay, like you know by the first quarter, like we have all these New Year's resolutions and mm-hmm. stuff. Like, you know, so by the first quarter of my walk with God, like, you know, and if you're in your walk with God, even, like, be humble enough to say, you know what, okay, today's a fresh start. Mm-hmm. Like, let me write down my goals and what the goals are going to be for the time being. And I think that, like, you know, you'll see some growth, man. It's a garden.
It is.
Water the garden.
It is. It is. And I think even to that, right, setting the goals, but not even just setting the goals, I think we got to do a better job of seeking God out in the goals as well. Because mm-hmm. it's one thing to just set a goal, like, hey, I want to do XYZ by this time period. But if I'm not seeking God to make sure, okay, God, you said to
do
start a podcast,
things.
Right?
Yes.
I speak for myself. God, you said start a podcast, and I just immediately did it, right? Well, not immediately did, but I started doing the things that I thought needed to be done. And so when it doesn't do what I thought it should do,
yeah,
then I think it's a failure. But I didn't sit with God after he said, okay, do this. And I think we do that because like we started in prayer, but we don't finish in prayer. Mm-hmm. And I'll use myself as an example. I started in prayer. The reason why I started the podcast that I was doing or am still doing was I was riding home one night. I wasn't at the church that I originally started with. And I was like, God, I know you called me to be a pastor. How can I pastor right now? And he mm-hmm. said, do the podcast. Mm-hmm. But I didn't finish that. I didn't carry that vision out in prayer. I just said, okay, cool. I heard do a podcast, and I started thinking about, okay, what do I see? What is the need that I see out there? Instead of asking God, what does it need to look like? I started going inwardly, and that's where I failed. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that the podcast was a fail, but that's where I failed the vision that God wanted to give. Because had I sat with a goal that God would have gave, then I would have just had more clarity. I would have had vision. It would have been easier to stick with it and finish. Even in hard times, like this last year, I wasn't doing as much with the podcast simply because like time got busy, and because yeah. time got busy, I was like, it kind of got put on a burner because I didn't stay in prayer with it.
Yeah.
And you know, like I said, I wrote about this in my book as well, that's something that I also did with the YouTube channel that me and my wife did. Like I wasn't in prayer with it like I should have been. And it was really, looking back at it, like we had really caught fire. And because like I look back at it now and like, dang, we were getting 15,000-20,000 views on videos, and like most people don't get 100.
Right.
And I didn't know that at the time.
I'm saying.
Right.
We,
I didn't know that at the
100.
Time. Right. Look, and look, I'll put a video up now and it don't get 100. Right. And so I didn't know that what we caught was fire, and I didn't steward it well, but it's because I wasn't seeking God in it.
That's good.
I was just following. Okay, cool. We just doing this.
Yeah.
It was just fun for me.
Yeah.
But we gotta seek God out in all things so that he can give us the vision for what he wants it to be.
I've definitely been guilty of that for sure.
Yeah.
Another thing I should say that yeah. really hit home with this book is just looking back over my life, and I look at all the ebbs and flows of when I was on fire mm-hmm. and then I kind of dwindled out and mm-hmm. then I'll get on fire again. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that, I think, does have to do with the relationships that we have. I mean, as a child, I remember I went to, like, this camp for mm-hmm. kids through my church, and I came back on fire. I mean, I was like, we're not listening to more secular music. We're doing Bible study as a family. Yeah. I'm, like, 11, like, yeah. just on fire. And, you know, somehow life, culture, all the things, it just things begin to kind of wane. And I remember shortly after I graduated from college, I got to the point where I was like, is this even real? Am I, when I pray, is it just four walls? Am I actually being ridiculous right now? And kind of strayed away from the faith. I had questions that nobody in my circle could answer at the time. And so I was just like, you know, but I think it took being around people who were on fire still to kind of come around and reignite me in a way. And I just think that that is so important because, I mean, this world has so much that's like counter kingdom culture. And it sounds good.
It does.
You know? And it so, yeah, that's why another reason why I just really like this book, because you kind of talk about the importance of having those relationships, right?
And the reason why I talk about it is because it's been important in my life. Like, before coming to, you know, the church that I'm at now, which is ATL Hub. Shout out to ATL Hub.
Shout out to ATL Hub.
Hey, yeah. So before coming to that church, like, you know, I didn't have those connections, right? I didn't have people that I could reach out to and that could, you know, reach out to me and just make, and just check in with each other. But now since coming there, like, I do. Not only do I have people that I can reach out to as, like, a brother, as a friend, but I have people that, like, one of my brothers, months ago when I was finishing up the book, he just randomly, after church, just randomly asked me, like, what are you working on right now? And so just simple questions like that is like, dang, you know what? Let me finish what I got, what I'm supposed to be doing, right?
Yeah.
And, but because of those connections, like, it keeps you from drying out. Like, if you look at it, like, if you take a log that's in the fire pit and you take it out of the fire pit, it's going to go out way before the rest of the fire pit does.
Yeah.
It's the that's same good. Thing with our lives, right?
Yeah.
If we separate ourselves from the rest of the body of Christ, then we're bound to dry up.
Yes.
We're bound because we don't have anything else sustaining us. The Bible says that when a man, like when someone fails, basically you who are spiritual, go and restore them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same thing. But if I'm not in a place where I can be restored, I'm going to fail. So I need those connections that way when I fall, because we go fall, when I don't feel like praying, because sometimes you're not going to feel like praying, when I don't feel like reading my Bible, because sometimes you don't feel like reading your Bible, when I'm not doing those things, I got people that's go, I can see their life and I'm like, dang, it convicts me.
Yeah.
Not because of anything that they said, but I just see their life.
Yeah.
So those connections are extremely powerful. And then also the other part, like you said, you had questions that the people around you couldn't answer. Like, that's the same reason why we need church.
Mm-hmm.
And not I'm a big proponent for, it's not church, it's fellowship. Because the church is everybody.
We're the church, right?
Yeah. But that's why we need fellowship. That's why we need the fivefold ministry, because they're here to edify. They're here to comfort, exhort, and edify us, right?
Yeah.
They're here to make sure that we are not lacking in anything. So when I have questions, I can go to my pastor, my apostle, my evangelist, my prophet, whoever it may be, my teacher.
Yeah.
I can go to them, and they can give me instruction and give me wisdom.
Come on.
I was listening to one of your other podcasts, I think with Zebulun.
Mm.
He was talking about he wants a multi-generational church.
Yeah.
And I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we do not have the wisdom from the last generation, we're going to fall into the same trap that they fell into.
Come on.
I know a lot of people don't like, and this is getting off topic, but
you're good. Yeah,
but I know a lot of people don't like the hymns and all that stuff. But like, if I go to a church that, you know, is stuck in that time period, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What they're doing is they're going after God the way that they came to God. They came to God on them hymns. They came to God on that Sunday morning devotional with the deacons, right?
Yeah.
And so they're going after him the way that they found him. If we continue to go after him only the way that we found him, we're going to be in the same boat. It's going to be our generation. Yeah. It's going to be our kids looking at us like they stuck in that same generation.
Mm-hmm.
They can't move on. And so we need that wisdom and we need that blending to be able to move forward. And that's all connections.
That is so good.
You said some stuff there. Bro.
Right. I'm just like trying to unpack it. Because I have, God has brought wonderful friends in my life at this stage where it's like iron sharpening iron. Mm-hmm. And I can look into their lives and they make me want to go pray. they tell me about experience they have with God. I'm like, let me go get my prayer closet.
Yes.
I want to go deeper, yes. You know? And it really does kind of enhance that fire.
And it speaks to discipleship. Yes. Absolutely. To me, it's like, you know, like, you're never meant to do life alone.
No.
That's the first thing that God said when he seen Adam by himself in the garden.
Good.
Even, because I think that a lot of people think that, like, you know, as long as I got God, I'm good. And then God even recognized that. Even with God being with Adam, he still said it's not good for man to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
So the relationship that we have with God cannot be the only thing that we rely on when it comes to our walk. Like,
right.
We have to surround ourselves with people, wise counsel, with other disciples, with people who are like-minded. Like, you know, mm-hmm. This is why the Bible says don't negate the gathering of believers. Like,
yes.
You know, because in that, like, I love, and this is a really cool story about Paul. Is when Paul gets stoned, mm-hmm. right? I'm about to say, the Bible said that, like, you know, he gets stoned, like, you know, nearly to death, like, you know, like, they thought he was dead. So they left him on the ground for dead. And then they said the next day, believers surrounded him.
Mm-hmm.
And when they surrounded him, that's when Paul got up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes you don't get up from your situation until you're surrounded by other believers.
Yes.
Like, you know, so I think that, like, you know, the importance of putting yourself around people who have the same mindset, who have the same heart posture, and can, again, to your point, keep you on fire,
mm-hmm.
and keep you lit for God. For a little, that's really bad. Keep you lit for God.
It's lit.
I'm about to say don't.
Yeah.
But to keep you on fire for God, and the thing that I love about embers is that, like, you know, embers spread.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not trying to make this into no sermon, so please, hear my sensitivity. But, like, you know, we just saw all the California brush fires and things that were going on. And sometimes it's the embers is what caused the other fires.
Picked up by the wind and caused another fire.
Exactly. I'm about to say, so when the wind of God carries your ember to somebody else, all of a sudden now you have the opportunity to light somebody else up on fire.
Come on.
And that's how you stay lit. There goes again.
that's how you stay lit, bro. You want to be lit? That's how you stay lit.
Stay lit. I'm about to say. I think that's important, man. Just to, like, really just key in on discipleship.
Yeah.
And to be surrounded by other people.
Yeah.
Who believe what you believe.
Absolutely. And I even to that point of discipleship, right? That was a big heart of the book, because I feel like, and don't get me wrong, please hear what I'm saying when I say this. Everybody, please. Like, there's a huge, and I say this very lightly as well, because I understand as soon as I say there's a huge discrepancy, somebody in the comments or somebody else can say, well, there's a whole list of somebody that's doing that.
You know how they work.
Exactly, right? But there's a discrepancy of, like, the basics in the body of Christ versus the quote-unquote deep things. So, like, you always hear conferences about your, you know, unlocking your prophetic call or unlocking, you know, the key to your apostolic destiny and, you know, bringing up all these things, right?
Yeah.
And it's deep, and I get it. We want to be there. I subscribe to those things.
Mm-hmm.
But I see that there's a lack, or there has been a, even kind of a turning away from, like, just the simple stuff.
The one-on-one stuff.
Yes, the basics of, like, okay, pray. Okay, read your Bible. Okay, you know, find people that can keep you on fire for God, that can speak into your destiny. Like, do those basic things. Because truthfully, what I've learned in my time period of being with God is that it's the small, basic principles of the Bible that unlock those things. If you're not praying, if you're not reading your word, if you don't have a strong foundation of who Christ is and knowing him crucified and what that means for your life, none of that other stuff matters. And not only does it not matter, any wind of doctrine can come and knock it down. And that's what we see today. That's what we see today. Like, when we were talking beforehand, when we were talking about people who... I don't want to go there, but we here.
Dibbing, dabble, and New Age stuff.
Yes, and New Age stuff, whether it be Hebrew Israelites, whether it be, you know, opening your third eye, all this other stuff, it's because you don't have a foundation in Christ.
Yes.
You don't have that foundation. And so anytime somebody tell you anything,
it sounds
you're
good.
Led astray by the tingling of ears.
Come on.
Anytime.
And that's why we have Here's the Thing.
Plug. I'm about to say, the Bible says in Colossians, I'm trying to find, I know it, but I like reading it because it's, they're going to judge me because they're like, oh, you don't know your Bible. I know where Colossians is.
Hey, man, look, bro. It don't matter.
It says, don't fall for empty philosophy. Don't fall for empty philosophies.
Yeah.
Like, don't be captured by them.
Yeah.
Because the empty philosophy is just that. It's empty, but it sounds good.
Yes.
And we are surrounded, unfortunately, in a day and age where people are surrounded by so much knowledge. The internet, social media has really crippled this generation and other generations, like, you know, like older generations, like, you know, like now that you have access to the internet, now all of a sudden, like, you know, everything that you believe to be true, because you have access to all this other information, now becomes more more prevalent mm-hmm. than what you were indoctrinated with from mm-hmm. like, you know, whatever. And I think the problem with stuff like that is that when you open your ear, your itching ear,
yes,
to everything that sounds good, then yeah, it's easy for you to fall victim to anything that sounds good.
Anything.
Like if I believe, I talked to a Jehovah's Witness the other day. Shout out to Jehovah's Witnesses, Hebrew Israelites, Muslims, 5%ers,
right.
Kemetic Science believers, atheists. We love you all.
Right.
I'm about to say, but y'all.
Hey.
All right. So I'm about to say, I do apologetics. So yeah. I talk to a lot of people that don't believe what I believe. When I was talking to a Jehovah's Witness the other day, they really were like trying to convince me that Jesus is not God. Like, you know, just predicated upon some of the scriptures yeah. that they've read or whatever case is. And I had a moment where I was listening to him and I was like, this actually sounds really good. Mm-hmm. Like this, like if we're being honest, yeah. you make a good argument.
Good argument, yeah.
About say like, and I think for somebody that's not rooted in Christ, somebody that doesn't have a foundation of people that they can go to and be mm-hmm. like, hey man, like somebody said this and I was confused by it. Can yeah. you like explain? Can yeah. you like help teach? I think in those moments, that's where you fall victim mm-hmm. to your lack of preparation mm-hmm. in your faith. This mm-hmm. is why I always say, discipleship without apologetics is dead. It, mm-hmm. Like, you know, mm-hmm. To me, hear my heart, guys. It means nothing to teach you to live for Christ if I can't teach you how to defend
yeah.
what you believe.
Defend it, yeah.
Because if I can teach you to live for Christ, that's cool. Yeah. But the minute that you're not with me,
mm-hmm.
the minute somebody else comes around and says, hey, like, do you really believe what you think you believe?
Same thing that happened in the garden. Did he really say that?
Yeah.
If I'm not able to defend it, then that's how we fall.
Exactly.
And that happens a lot of when people go to college.
Yeah.
Time. They were born and raised in church, had a belief in Jesus. They get to college and start doubting everything.
It's so many atheists that are atheists simply because they were not able to defend what they believed.
Yeah, and something else sounded quite convincing.
They ran into somebody who was knowledgeable enough to get them to not believe what they believed anymore.
Yeah. For sure.
So exactly what you said, if we're not able to defend it in some degree, then you have what your foundation again is faulty.
Yeah.
Because you what are you standing on?
Right.
Because somebody can come and poke at it and you can't defend it.
Right.
Right.
It was Colossians 2.
There we go.
Colossians 2 and 8. I knew it was in Colossians.
Watch your tone in the comments.
But yeah, like, you know, like, I think that's really what it is, man. I'm about to say, like, you know, we're building our foundations, unfortunately, on the backs of our grandma's faith, our yeah. mom's faith. Yeah. And, like, you know, at what point in time do you take the time to build your own.
Build your
really
own.
Like, you know, like you said, set a goal mm-hmm. and invest in your yes. own faith. Because, like, you know, you got to walk out your own, like, you know, salvation with fear and trembling. Like,
yes.
You know, you have, and I love that it says, like, you know, walk out. Like, it's like, no, there's something that you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot just sit in the crib and expect, not saying that he can't, not saying that he won't.
Yeah.
But you can't just sit in the crib and expect God to just invade your space mm-hmm. and make you follow him. That's not biblical.
No, it's not. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. The reason why that is because if you believe in something, eventually you're going to do what you say you believe.
Facts.
If I believe that when I flip on this light, that the lights is going to come on, then when I need light, I'm going to flip on the light. I'm going to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
If I believe that when I pray, God hears my prayers and he's going to answer me, then when I get into tough situations, then I'm going to pray instead of going into my own, taking things into my own hands.
Yeah.
I'll use this. I was reading Daniel, and in Daniel 6, when the other people that was around Daniel that didn't like him, they conspired to get him thrown in the lion's den. Immediately when he got word that he couldn't pray to anybody but to the King Darius, he went and prayed.
As he always did.
Come on.
That stood out to me so much. He's like, he was always doing this.
Yeah.
This was not nothing new to him. He was able to go and pray in a time of hardship because it was natural.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't change, but that's what we do. We don't make it natural. We don't make it so that's something that we're doing every day. We're not walking out our faith every day. And so when we get into tough situations, instead of being able to go in our prayer closet, we stressing out. We yeah. scrambling. Okay, what I got to move this over here. I got to move this over there. I got to do this. Nah.
Be anxious for nothing.
But submit everything in prayer.
Come on.
But you have to make your life around that.
Yeah.
And you were saying something else earlier when you were saying that being able to defend your faith. Here's my thought process on that, right? When people hear different things from different people, is if I can go back or I don't even have to do it. People have done this for years.
Okay.
Atheists, historians, theologians have done this for years, trying to disprove Jesus. And almost everyone, a lot of the, I ain't gonna say almost everyone, but a lot of the ones that tried to disprove him, the more and more that they dug, the more and more that they found out he's real.
Yeah.
And so that was enough for me. When I found out, I'm not a person where I got to find out on my own. I can learn from other people.
Fact.
If you were trying to disprove him and now you're a devout Christian, okay, I know he real.
I'm sold.
Yeah, I'm good. And the other thing too is the fact that all other texts, all other religions, all other theologies, they say that he is a way.
Mm-hmm.
Christ is the only one that says he is the way. Mm-hmm. They're just trying to get you to deviate a little bit.
Narrow is the road. As soon as they can't disprove him, now it's, he was an ascended master.
He was a teacher.
He was a prophet.
Yes.
He was a rabbi. He wasn't God. Right. He was just this. Mm-hmm. All right, cool.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Good chat.
Right.
But yeah, that's definitely a thing, man. I'm about to say, so when it comes to this book, I want to ask you, and how long has this book been out?
It's been out since December.
Okay. I'm about to say, can you speak to just how big of an evangelism tool something like this can be?
Yes, because I'll speak for anybody who picks it up, and I'll also speak for myself. So for anybody that picks it up, it's an evangelism tool. One, because of the design. Like, it's a very bright, it's going to catch your eye. I did that on purpose. Mm-hmm. But then two, like, it's an evangelism tool because it gives you the power and the understanding that I don't have to know it all. Because I feel like a lot of people, myself included, we feel like I have to know everything before I'm able to go and help somebody else. Mm-hmm. And that's why I didn't write this book from a high theologian standpoint. None of my writing is probably ever going to be like that. If everybody else is trying to give you a PhD and a doctorate, I'm trying to give you a GED.
Yeah.
Go do something. And so it's a tool to, one, just like, okay, if I know, even just the first chapter, understanding that I have access to God. Mm-hmm. And because I have access to God, if he tells me to go to evangelize to somebody, then, hey, I can go do it. And then even if you just want to put this book in their hand, like, hey, I know you know, you had questions about God, or I know you just came to your faith. Hey, read this book. Tell me what you think. Mm-hmm. And I wrote it very practical to where you could do that, to where somebody who is not in Christ can come. Now, there may be some stuff that still goes over their head, but for the most part, somebody that's not in Christ can read this book and understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I did it on purpose because I want this to be a form to get somebody from either just got saved or thinking about God to living a life for God. And that's the bridge that it does. And then for me, it's a tool for me to be able to evangelize and go disciple, because it was a proving to myself that what you have to offer is valuable.
Come on.
It's always hard. Like, you mentioned that about your own book. Like, it's hard because you don't understand, like,
is somebody going to read almost.
It? Man, it's so, that part right there, my wife said this to me.
Yeah.
And I was talking to another one of my coworkers, and she was just like, she was asking me about the book, and I was telling her, like, I had to get out of my head of thinking that what I was saying was just, it didn't feel like it was substance. It felt like water to me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to feel like water to you because it's the revelation that God gave you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to sound like this profound thing to you. It's just going to sound like water.
Yep.
Because it's the revelation that he gave you.
Yeah.
And so, but that water to you is also feeding somebody else.
Yeah.
It's feeding somebody that may not be in that same space. Also, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So if it's water, that's good.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be plain.
Refresh the people,
it's supposed to be plain.
Jesus says, I am the bread of life, like, you know, in the living water.
Mm-hmm.
These two things don't have much flavor. So I think that's that, like, true. You know, like, but they sustain you and they fill you.
Yes.
I'm about to say, so I think that when, and this is no shot to anybody that is out there preaching with the fancy words and things that they like, cool.
It's needed.
It's needed. Yeah. It absolutely is needed. However, there is still also, to your point, a need to simplicity.
Yes.
Like, you know, like, I think that we had to begin to just give people what Jesus gave us. Jesus gave us simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, and a lot of people are like, you know, we have scholars that try to, like, oh, do you know what Jesus was really saying? Okay, cool. But let's take it at face value.
Right. And here's the thing with that, right? Because I learned this very early on in my preaching, and I also had to relearn it again. The Greek and the Hebrew meaning of those words, that's for you.
Mm-hmm.
You have the responsibility then to take that and make it simple so that when you preach it, they can grab it. Mm-hmm. If all you, if, and I used to do this, I got into it where I was just like, this word means this and this word means this. None of that matters. None of it matters. It doesn't matter. If they don't, if they're not able to take what you gave them, go home and implement it into their life, then you did nothing but get up there and entertain them.
You just put some parsley on your
All you did.
Some food glitter.
You didn't even give them food. You just put some parsley on a plate and said, here you go.
Some of that.
Here you go.
It looks good and it sounds good.
It does.
And again, I'm a big proponent of looking up what words are. I believe in putting the top shelf information on the bottom shelf so people can have access to it. So I don't mind a good definition. Yes. I don't mind the Greek being translated. I don't mind the Hebrew being translated.
Right.
But when that's your, when that's your gimmick.
Yes.
Like, you know, I think that's where it becomes a little played. It's like, hey, guys, like, that's not necessary.
Right.
How can I apply this definition to my life? Right. I like looking up the Greek and the Hebrew.
I do too.
Because it does give scripture a whole new context.
Absolutely.
But I think that, to your point, if this is just something that sounds good and not something that is good to somebody, right, now all of a sudden we are doing the people of God a disservice. This is what the Bible says, if you love me, you'll feed my sheep. I think the problem with most people, and you've heard me say this, the problem with most people is that, like, you know, when it comes to feeding a sheep, we want to feed sheep what we want to feed them.
Yes.
We have a certain menu that we want to feed you from.
Yes, yes.
And God's like, no. You don't own the restaurant, brother. I own the restaurant. I own the menu.
Serve them what I told you to serve them.
Mm-hmm. That part. Because you all are over here trying to serve steak to sheep. Sheep don't eat steak.
They eat grass.
They eat grass.
And then they drink water. That's it.
And they drink water. Give them the simplicities. Yes. That's going to make us grow.
Yes.
That's going to help us retain.
Yes.
And that's going to help us to sustain a healthy relationship with God. Because we're not being fed all this, for lack of better words, junk.
Yeah. And here's the thing, right? Because like you said, and anybody that's out, please hear our heart. We're not saying that we don't like those things. In fact, I like those things. There's pastors that I listen to, both alive and dead, that feed very dense teachings, mm-hmm, and I like it. However, at the same time, I can like it and also understand that what I'm called to do is to break it down so that anybody can get it, mm-hmm, whether it be a child, whether it be, you know, somebody that never heard of Jesus Christ, or whether it be somebody that's been living for God for 30 plus years. That's my job. So don't get me twisted. Like, there's a place, there's a room for that.
Yeah.
But I also, going back to what I said at first, I believe there's a huge discrepancy now in just true discipleship. And I believe it started with the generation, maybe one or two generations before me, where they felt like they were being mistreated by the people that was discipling them. And so they turned away from it altogether. And in an act of try to preserve themselves, which is another issue, and as an act tried to try to preserve themselves and the ones below them, they just kind of strayed away from it. Mm-hmm. And when we got away from Sunday Bible school, when we got away from Wednesday night Bible study that was actually Bible study and not a second service,
mm-hmm,
when we got away from those things, we really hurt the church in a lot of ways, because we have people that don't know how to get the word of God for themselves. We have people that are only relying on what the preacher says. And I was one myself. I thank God for this apostle. He changed his Bible studies up to where he was showing us how he broke down the word. And that unlocked so much for me. But we need that. We need that simple practicality of him saying, we go flip to a verse, we go flip to a scripture that we've never read before.
Yeah.
And I'm going to show you how I get it. But before I tell you what I think about the verse, I'm going to make you read it. 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 And I'm going to make you give me what you think. I'm going to make you give me what you think. I'm going to make you give me what you think.
That's good.
And then I'm going to go in and say, okay, this is what I see.
Yes.
I'm going to break down, okay, this word stands out to me. Why does this word stand out to me? Because it links to something back in the Old Testament, or it points to something in the New Testament. Why is that important? Okay, let's look at it. Let's look at the history of the text. Let's look at the history of this word. Let's look at what this word really means. Like a word like love. We see love and think of one thing. In Hebrew and Greek, there's so many different words for love. There's agape love, there's friendly love, there's other things. So when we break it down like that, we get the heart and we get the quote unquote meat of the text.
Yes, yes.
But then at that point, it's upon the person that's teaching the word, it's upon the person that's given the word to break it up and, like, let me make this digestible for you.
Yes.
So
that's so good. That's so good. At the risk of, like, backtracking just a little bit,
ahead.
I know that you also kind of touched on, like, how prayer,
mm-hmm,
just you not getting an answer right away mm-hmm. can also kind of make you grow a little cold, yeah, you know, it where it's just like, well, why am I doing certain mm-hmm. things? And is God really listening? Does mm-hmm. he care? Because if he doesn't, then why am I, you know, chasing him? Why do I need to do X, Y, and Z? Because yeah. I personally have experienced that where it's just like, I feel kind of ridiculous for praying, and I don't really think that you can, or you get to a point where it's like, well, Lord, I believe you do it for them. I don't know if you,
for me.
Yeah. yeah. And that kind of causes you to kind of grow cold as well. And so I think that making sure that you have or even just people around you to kind of just encourage you to say, hey, you know, God does hear you. Mm-hmm. And that's another point that I really like that your book kind of touches on as well, because that's half the battle is believing that there is a God, believing yeah. that he hears you, that you can go to the throne room.
Absolutely.
Boldness and, you know, lay your heart out.
Yeah. And even speaking to that, right, I think we have to understand or get to a place where we begin to understand that, yes, what we're praying for may be one thing and God may answer it in another way.
Mm-hmm.
So we may be praying, God, deliver me from this situation. But again, referencing Daniel, like, God may not deliver you from the situation, but he may get into the situation with you.
Mm-hmm.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they got into the fire. Daniel got into the lion's den.
Yeah.
He just happened to be there with them.
Yeah.
And on the other side of it, they were like, they never went in.
Yep.
And so when we begin to understand that God answers our prayers in different ways, then it may not always look like what we thought we prayed for.
Right.
Then we understand that God is answering us. Right. Yeah. So, you know, just again, being transparent, if I'm like, God, help me to, you know, God, I don't want to be at my in-laws' house,
mm-hmm.
but he sustained me through it.
Mm-hmm.
He sustained my marriage through it. And I'm able to look back at him like, God, you know what? I didn't like that season. I didn't want to be there, but you were there with me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I can look at it and be like, God, you didn't answer my prayer. But no, he did. And he said, and this isn't in text, but like in the moments where you feel like you're walking alone, you're sometimes able to look back and realize you weren't walking at all. God was carrying you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You saw the footprints and only saw one set of footprints.
Yeah.
But you look back and you realize I didn't walk none of that.
Mm-hmm.
God walked me through it. And so he was there with me. And that's more of an answered prayer than him taking you out of it. Because the Bible also says, let patience have its perfect work.
Come
that
on.
You may be complete, lacking nothing. And if I get pulled out of those situations, then I'm lacking.
That's so good. And I think that, again, kind of goes back to discipleship. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm spending the mornings praying with my brother, mm-hmm. and I'm literally trying to teach him how to hear the voice of God for himself.
Because
I feel like that's half the battle.
It is.
And, you know, hey, before we read this, let's ask the Lord. And so, because he'll speak through his word.
Yes.
It's not always a voice
yeah.
or, you know, different things like that. Because it's important to know that your God loves you and that he hears you and he cares about you.
Yeah.
Because I think that kind of just helps that fire go.
Yeah. And I think at the end of the day, when we're trying to teach people and cultivate, what we're trying to teach people is that, hey, when you develop your own relationship with God,
mm-hmm.
your relationship with God is going to be yours.
Yes.
It's not going to look like mine.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to look like that person's.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be yours.
Yeah.
And if you can identify God for yourself, mm-hmm. it empowers you to recognize, like, hey, this thing was cool. Because I don't think that we talk about suffering enough.
No.
Like, you know, like, and I think that when people come to the faith, they have this idea that everything's going to be peaches and cream.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's going to get great, I about to say. And it was funny because me and we were talking about this with Kaya when Kaya was here. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, I think that we sabotage people when they
yes.
come to the faith of, like,
yes.
the glitz and glam of this mm-hmm. thing. And I think that, like, you know, like, God is really funny. He gave me this description a while ago. It's like, he kind of, and again, I'm not being sacrilegious, but this is just how me and God just communicate.
Yeah.
Like, God kind of baits you into the faith a little bit. He's like, all right, cool, look, hey, here's hope, here's, like, you know, grace, here's love, here's all these things will be added unto you. Like, all right, cool, like, this is all great. And then, like, you know, when we decide to say, all right, cool, God, I'm here, he says, all right, cool, pick your cross up.
Yes.
Like, hey, you didn't really tell me about this part. No, I did. You glossed over it.
Mm-hmm.
Pick the cross up.
Yeah.
I'm about to say, because this thing is going to build everything that you're going to need during your journey.
To get to that.
Because if you don't have this,
mm-hmm.
then these things that I will add on to you, you will squander those things.
Yes.
And this goes to the prodigal son, where the prodigal son's like, hey, man, Like, I want my stuff now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, all right, well, I don't want to give this to you now, but, like, you know, like, sure.
Yeah.
About to say, and then when he gives it to him, he realizes that these things are empty without God.
Yes.
These things are empty without my master. Yes. Like, this stuff, it's like the wind according to Ecclesiastes. Mm-hmm. So now I have to be in a position where it's like, you know what, man? Like, I want to know God. I want a relationship with God.
Yes.
More than I want a relationship with his things.
Yes.
And the exploits of being in Christ.
Yeah.
And I think that what this book does is it gives a really, like, you know, dope perspective on what it truly means to be in communion with God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And not this fairy tale. This ain't for no, man, this ain't for no tithe and offering.
No.
Like, he's not trying to, like, you know, like, get rich off of this thing. Like, you know, this is something where, like, it's a manuscript.
Yes.
On how to be the best version of yourself in relationship with God.
Yeah.
And stuff like that is vital to the body.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go.
I was saying it's vital, and again, like, that's the purpose of it. Like what you just said, like, it's not, oh, if you do these things, then, you know, you go have millions of dollars or you go have, you know, this great revelation of God. No. Mm-hmm. It's I'm giving you the practicality of what it means to be with God. Even in the book, I think in the part about discipline or implementing structure, I was telling, like, you know, it's not going to always feel like butterflies. I'm not going to always feel like, God, I just want to get up and pray. Or I just want to get up and do X, Y, Z. No. And that's why I have to. Paul said, I beat my body that way after preaching to you. I myself don't become a castaway. Exactly. Reason why is because if I don't implement structure, there's things that I know I don't do as I should unless I have structure in place.
That's so, yeah.
So like when I put that structure in place, it takes the pressure off. Mm-hmm. And so it becomes less of a, do I feel like praying today or do I feel like worshiping today? And it becomes more of a, this is what I do because this is what I believe. And the more I did, and the more of this is what I do because this is what I believe, the more I'm able to live freely.
Yeah.
I had to come to this revelation for myself, but discipline is not for the sake of hurting you or shrinking you in.
Yeah,
discipline is for the sake of giving you freedom.
Come on.
Same thing with our kids, right? If I put my kid in a playpen, you have freedom to do whatever you want to do versus if I let you go outside in the backyard and it's just open. Now I have to watch over you. Now I have to, you're That's gonna constantly real. Hear my voice.
Like, hey.
Versus if I just put you in a place to be disciplined, wow. You can do what you wanna do.
That's good.
Wow.
That's good.
Discipline is for freedom?
It's for freedom.
I've never heard that.
It's for freedom. That's the same thing with the laws of the Bible. It's so that we may have freedom.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That right there, man. I can end the pod right there. I'm about to say, there's such a nasty take on discipline.
Yes.
And it's always from the perspective of I'm doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, here comes this hammer of God, like, you know, to stop me from doing what my flesh wants to do. Mm-hmm. And really, it's so you can really be free.
Yes. And I think I talked about it in here as
That's
well.
Hard.
But like, I had to learn that for myself because I am a very go with the flow type of person. I'm very laid back. I'm very, you know, not talkative at all. Right. So like. When it comes to like implementing structure, implementing discipline, like I fought it so long. I fought it with my wife. I fought it with God. I was like, I just want to be able to, you know, as thing goes, you know, if I want to come over here as I please, then cool. If I don't, then, you know,
yeah.
But no, if when I, and what I, cause I was like, it doesn't mean anything if I'm telling myself I'm going to do it at this time, but it's the complete opposite. God honors that. When God says, when you say to God, I'm going to get up at 5 a.m. and meet with you before I do anything else, you'll be surprised at how many times as soon as you begin to pray, the presence of God just hits.
Come on. Man, I was just about to say, it's really a decision.
Yes.
It's like every time I make the conscious decision, it's like, okay, I have an hour before I have to go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
I can scroll. I can watch this television show.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can read my Bible.
Yes.
I'm not going to lie. A lot of times, the Bible doesn't seem like the go-to choice.
That's facts.
But as soon as I get into my Bible, I'm like, this is better than any show that I could have ever put on. Like, the revelation, just all this. It's like, every single time, it's just getting there. It's just making that decision to choose your relationship over the things of this world a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, what you'll also find is that exactly what you were reading or exactly what you have been putting off reading is exactly what you needed.
Come on.
And that can be anything. That can be a book that you're reading.
Yeah.
That can be the Bible. That can be a sermon that you wanted to watch. As soon as you sit down and watch it, you're like, dang, this is why I was supposed to have been watching this.
Come on.
This could have helped me a week ago.
All the
and
time.
Now I'm sacrificing my life because I wasn't obedient.
Yeah. Mm. That's so good.
Back to that. What's your, what was the hardest chapter for you to write?
The hardest chapter. Let me see. man. Let's see. The hardest chapter for me would have been the chapter about accountability. And the reason why it was hard wasn't because the chapter was hard, but it made me face a part of myself that was hard. It made me face a part of myself where I had a friend in college. We're friends now still. But I had a friend in college and early on in marriage and in my career at work, he would reach out to me and be like, you know, how is everything going? I'm like, ooh, everything good. You know, how's work? Oh, it's good, man. It's paying the bills, da, 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 da. And he was like, you know, but what are you doing for this? What are you doing for, you know, at the time I wanted to coach, he's like, what are you doing to get back in coaching? What are you doing to like help others? And I'm like, every time he would say it, it would just kind of like hit me. I know he wasn't being rude.
Yeah,
he was really
like,
just
back up off me.
Being accountable. Like he was holding me accountable. And it really made me face that. And I was like, dang, you know what? I didn't handle that the way I should have. But that was the hardest chapter. Not because of what I wrote, but because it made me face me.
Yeah.
And I think anytime you have to do that, you have to look in that mirror and face truly who you are and what you're about. It brought some revelation. Like, dang, bro, you gotta get right.
That's real.
There's we got a post out there floating right now where kind of like, you know, accountability comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, where we address that. And I think a lot of people in this walk, they stray away from accountability because they don't understand, or they don't read the Bible first and foremost.
Yeah, absolutely.
They don't understand, like, you know, what it really means to be held accountable. Yes. Like, you know, the Bible says, like, you know, like there's this rhetoric out there where like, oh, you can't judge me. Where is that in your Bible?
They always like to bring up, the Bible says, judge not, read the rest. Lest you be judged by the measure that you're judging the other person.
Exactly. I'm about to say, so let's have some grace in the way that you exactly. judge, is what it's really saying. But the Bible also says in 1 Corinthians, it says, like, you know, you don't judge those inside the church, you don't judge those outside the church, but those inside the church, you judge.
Yes.
I'm about to say, and this is not judgment like condemnation. This is not me condemning you to hell because you did something wrong. This is me holding you accountable to say, hey, are you doing what you said you're going to do?
Right.
Are you on task?
Right.
Have you prayed today?
Right.
Like, you know, and these things are necessary because without accountability, without somebody like Nathan and David are the prime examples of accountability where David is doing something wrong and then Nathan shows up like, hey, man, how would you feel? Oh, nah. And then he's like, yeah, well, that's you.
Yeah.
First thing David does is he repents.
Yes.
Like, you know, and I think that like this is what accountability does. It leads you to repentance.
Yes.
And if you stray away from accountability and you don't surround yourself with people that you can be vulnerable with, I think it's important to surround yourself with people that you give the green light to check you.
Yes. Everybody needs somebody that can check them. And we see this in church. We see this in media. We see this in the music industry. If you have too many yes men around you, you're bound to fall. I think that's what we see with a lot of, you know, and I'm not going to get into no names or anything, but a lot of pastors that fall, you got too many yes men around them. They don't have anybody above them or on the same level of them that can tell you, hey,
you tripping.
Like exactly even like and I ain't gonna drop his name, but there was a celebrity that cheated on his wife or whatever case is, and like, you know, he was surrounded with a bunch of people, but he was the breadwinner, he was the money guy, so like, you know, so at the end of the day, everybody kind of like worked for him, answered to him, so he didn't surround himself with anybody that was outside of his payroll, so nobody had the gall to say, hey man, you know, this is wrong, right? Like, you know, and this goes back to the whole obedience thing. When you go to 1 Samuel 15, one of my favorite, man, if you need a good entertaining read, 1 Samuel 15, 16, 17, 18, you read those consecutively. It's better than Power. It's better than, like, you know, whatever shows on Prime. But in 1 Samuel 15, the Bible says that, like, you know, Saul was instructed to kill everything.
Mm-hmm.
Kill everybody. Leave nothing. Mm-hmm. Take nothing for yourself. But then what happens is he keeps Agag alive.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and not to be, because we just talked about this, but Agag means, if you look up the definition, it means burn. Like, you know, so he keeps Agag alive. And what ends up happening is when he keeps Agag alive, the soldiers keep the best cattle and the best sheep alive. Mm. Why? Because he's the head.
You're right.
He's the guy in charge.
Right.
You're doing something wrong.
So I'm doing something wrong.
I'm doing something wrong too. Yeah. I'm about to say, and what happens is Samuel comes back. He says, hey man, like, you know, is that bleeding sheep out here? Is that Agag I see? All right, cool. Say less. He kills everything. And then the relationship with Samuel and Saul is no more.
Mm-hmm.
When you keep things that God is telling you to get rid of, it burns the relationship between you and God,
yeah,
and you and the people that are connected to
That's
God.
Good.
God stopped dealing with him that day,
yeah,
and then Samuel had to stop dealing with him that day, mm-hmm, too. And I think the importance of accountability is that if you surround yourself with somebody,
yeah,
outside of your spectrum of control,
mm-hmm,
that can check you,
right,
it will prevent you from falling victim to yourself.
Absolutely.
And that's what we don't see enough of.
Yeah, because we get so high and mighty in thinking that we know everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we get so high and mighty in thinking that, you know, well, I've arrived. No, you haven't. None of us ever will. Well, we think that we're in a certain place, and then we forget that the Bible also tells us that the heart is wicked. It's deceivably wicked.
Mm-hmm.
And who can know it except for God, right? And so when we have people, we don't have people around us that, one, you got to have somebody that knows really who you are. And I say that like they don't care about your title. They don't care about how good you preach. They don't care about how many people you done laid out. You got to know somebody that know you.
Facts.
To be able to say, that was cool, but that don't mean nothing to me.
This ain't
and
it.
Then, right. And then allow that person in so that they can be the navigator. And you need multiple people like that.
Yeah.
For a lot of people to be your spouse, my wife's like that. And then for other people to be a friend that you grew up with, other people to be somebody that comes in later on in life. But you got to have somebody that don't care about none of your status.
I hear that a lot about wives and husbands where, like, you know, like a husband will go out here and preach and lay hands and do a bang up job.
Mm-hmm.
Then get to the crib, the wife be like,
It was okay.
It was okay.
And not that she's like that. She's not like that, honestly. She's honestly the opposite, but it's because of me. Like, I'll be like, oh, I don't know if I did this right. She's
right.
Like, no, you did good. But, like, you still need that person that can be that
real with you.
Even head, right? Mm-hmm. So you're not up. You're not too far up. You're not too far down. You're just even. And they can know who you are, one, but then also know what God put in you.
Yeah.
And be able to speak to that constantly and be like, hey, yeah, that's cool. Like, yeah, you successful over here, but you ain't supposed to be doing that anyway.
Ooh. Yeah. Look, I'm about to say one of my man, we were in this Bible. One of my favorite passages of scripture is when God is telling Moses, hey, speak to the rock.
Mm-hmm.
And then he ends up striking it with the rod.
Yep.
Water comes out and the people are satisfied. God said, don't think that because the people are satisfied that I'm pleased.
We was talking about this the other night, bro. And so me and my wife was talking about this the other night. We was just talking about like people being in churches that aren't necessarily doing things right, but they, you know, they have this testimony of like, I went there and, you know, God showed up and like I felt the presence of God and he healed me. He did all these things while I was there.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that was in spite of that person.
Mm.
It wasn't because of what they were doing.
Mm.
You came hungry for God, and God being a good father came and gave you what you were searching for in spite of that person. In spite of their heart, in spite of the corruptness that they're in, he came.
Yeah.
That's sober.
Because
we be saying the same thing sometimes. We're just like, I don't know. But just because it wasn't what we saw to be good,
mm-hmm,
that doesn't stop God from saying, but there's a need.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That this person needs, and mm-hmm, I'm going to make sure that I meet that need.
Yes.
And I think that a lot of us are drunk in the satisfaction of people.
Yeah.
In thinking that, like, yeah, we're doing.
Yeah.
Because what did Saul say? Saul literally said, hey, man, like, I did what God told me to do. Like, look, everybody's happy. Everybody's cool. Like, you know, what y'all tripping for?
No.
And he's like, oh, you got twisted. You think that because everybody else is hype around you, that means that you
God
just.
God is pleased.
All right, cool. Say less.
Mm-hmm.
Say less. Is obedience not better than sacrifice?
Yes.
And that's where. Like, when you really read that chapter, man, it really does put you on notice that I don't care. Like, God doesn't care about the status that you have on the earth.
No.
Yeah.
God doesn't care about your accolades. God doesn't care about your degrees. God doesn't care about your fame, your followers on Instagram, your bought blue check verification on Instagram, the thing that you bought yourself with your own Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Like, God don't care about none of that stuff.
Man.
Like, God cares about your obedience.
Yes. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, when we get to Judgment Day, he's not gonna judge us based off of, you know, all of that. He's not gonna judge us based off of our wealth. He's not gonna judge us based off of, you know, how many people liked us, how many posts went viral, how many times we went out and did whatever we thought we supposed to did.
Yeah,
he gonna judge us by this is what I have for your life. this is what you did.
Yeah. That's so good.
And outside of that, the only other thing that he's going to judge us by is, like, did he know you? And the only way he's going to know you is, this is what I have for your life. So this is who I know. Who is this? This is who I know. I don't know this person. Depart from me. I never knew you. But God, we did so many things in your name. Depart from me. I didn't know you. I knew you before I put you in your mother's womb. But the person this that stands version? Before me now, I don't know.
My God.
Yeah. I had that revelation a while ago. Yeah. Messed me up.
It hurts. It hurts.
My God.
It messed me up.
It hurts so much because you're just like, it puts another level to, like you said, obedience versus sacrifice. Yeah, I can go and do whatever I need to do and make $1 million and then sacrifice all of that for the sake of the kingdom. Yeah. But if God didn't call me to do that, doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Listen, y'all, if you haven't already, go get this book. I think of people, it's going to be a stretch, low key, but like a Kanye West, right? Mm. Where it's just like, appeared to be very much on fire for God, found his faith, and took a sharp left turn shortly after. Like, could an ember, you know, had or any type of discipleship maybe helped steer him through when things didn't happen how he thought they were going to happen versus him losing his faith altogether. But you definitely dropped some gems. I'm still chewing on that whole, like, discipline allows freedom. Because I'm even thinking of, like, discipline just having within your marriage. The freedom that you have within that marriage because it has boundaries and boundaries. Things like that. So I'm going to be chewing on that for a while. But, man, this is good.
I'm still shell shocked.
I know.
that last little nugget, man. But what's coming up for you, man? Like I said, what's new for Cameron Giles?
So, you know, this book is done. I just finished a devotional.
All right.
So that'll be soon, and then the podcast will be back up eventually as well. I don't have a date for that yet, but the podcast will be back up, and then I'm also writing the second book. Now, the second book is going to be completely different from this.
Okay.
It's talking about disappointment. During my last season, while I was writing this book, God kind of put that on my heart because he kind of showed me different areas where I allowed disappointment to cause me to basically kill me. Like internally, I was internally numb, internally dead. Mm-hmm. And it was because of disappointment. And, you know, just a little snippet from that, like where trauma or where like very traumatic events come in and like it's like a hammer that smashes you. Disappointment is like a slow drip on a rock, and over time, small impacts over time, eventually drill a hole through it and it's dead. That small rock is your heart. So yeah, that's what's next.
That's
and then outside of that, man, whatever else God says,
free.
Man, go get your copy, man. I'm about to say, where can they find this at?
They can find this on Amazon. You can also find it on my wife's website. It's hannahsalay.com. And I'll also link that to y'all.
All right. Yeah. Well, we always end with asking our guests to tell something that the people need to hear.
Yes.
So that's your camera. Go ahead and talk to the people.
Hey, something that the people need to hear. I think the biggest thing is just understanding that you are enough. And what I mean by you are enough is that God in you has done enough, has placed enough in you that you can accomplish anything that he has put, he's any task that he's telling you to do. And I know this because if he didn't give you what you needed, you wouldn't be here. And if your task was completed, you wouldn't be here. So just know that you're enough and that everything that God told you to do, you can do it. It's just your own confidence, your own self-esteem, your own belief. And it's the fact that he's the one that's telling you to do it that's going to allow you to unlock the revelation. It's going to allow you to unlock the work ethic. That's going to allow you to unlock whatever it is that you think you don't have. Your understanding that God is the one that actually told you to do it and that you didn't call yourself, but God called you and, you know, he's going to see it through to completion. That's it.
Amen.
All right. Well, look, man, we really appreciate
you. I appreciate y'all.
I'm about to say, we'll be back again soon.
Yeah, but like, hopefully, you know, this isn't the last time.
Yeah, I'm about to say for sure, man, but
maybe we'll have wifey on.
Hey, yeah.
I'm about to say, thank you, wife. And Noel, I'm about to say, beautiful family here, but we really do appreciate you, man. Like, you know, we believe that somebody's going to hear this and
be really blessed.
And get it. Like, get it, man. Like, get this book. Like, I can't say it enough, man. I'm about to say it's simple, but it's It's what's needed.
Yeah.
And I love you for this book, man. So yeah. We appreciate you, man.
I appreciate y'all. I really
All right,
do.
Man. So that was another episode of His Thing Podcast. About to say, yeah. Be sure to like, share, subscribe, share this with as many people as you can. About to say, and until next time,
peace out.